another one that's more wholesome. You see other things on SoundCloud. But you type in Grace Life Ministry and you'll get my podcast. And, or you can, that next time, just text your name. That's my phone number right there. You can just, I mean, I'll answer it or text or whatever. But anyway, I started it for the men at the mission. It's tailored for, you know, it's about a 5 or 6 minute podcast. Talks about Jesus to remind the guys when they graduate and everything like that. But then it started, other people started listening to it. And then other countries started listening to it. I saw this morning where somebody from Saudi Arabia, tuned in. And it's like 75 different countries, but I appreciate you helping me with that. All right, let's go to the next one there. I want to share this with you about the woman at the well. And I love this story. I've preached it, I don't know. And every single time, though, I get something different when I look at it. Okay? I'm used to that clicker. You know I got this little clicker down there at the mission. Okay, Jesus left Judea and departed into Galilee. It says he must needs go through Samaria. Now, Jesus is down here in Judea. He's going to Galilee, which is the north. In fact, that was the part that was bombed yesterday by the Hezbollah. Killed them kids, the Druze. That's the Golan Heights area there. There's a group of people. I've been to Israel and met those people. They're precious. They don't want no trouble or nothing. And the Jews like them. They get along, Druze and Jews. But anyway, it was this area that Jesus is going through. And they didn't like each other, the Samaritans and the Jews. You'll see that in just a minute in another scripture. And I've been to Israel, and they will when they leave Judea to go to Galilee, they'll cross the Jordan River. They'll go north and cross the Jordan River again to go to Galilee to keep from going through Samaria. I may have a map. Yeah, there it is. See those arrows where they cross here, go and then cross back over? All right, back up there. I want to show you one more thing. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He was going to go directly through there because there's a woman at the well there that needs his attention, that needs his love, that needs his salvation, that needs his water, living water. Glory to God, I love this message. All right, go to the next one. All right, then cometh he to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, when we went to Israel, we didn't get to go here. There was some, that's actually Samaria now would be the West Bank. And there was some goings on there, so we didn't get to go there. We went close to it. Give me that next slide there. I can't even see it. But it's right there, though, glory to God. Yeah, well, I still can't. But anyway, there was a highway in Israel now that we can see it in a distance. Hallelujah. All right, get back to the scripture. That's where I'm comfortable, right there with the Holy Scriptures. Glory to God. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied. Say wearied. Now, you got to understand, Jesus is 100% God. He's divine, 100% deity, but he's also 100% human. He took on human flesh to redeem us, you see. And he was weary. So that shows the humanity of Jesus right there. He was wearied with his journey and sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Sixth hour. Y'all know what time it is? Noon. Who said noon? Hallelujah. It's noon. 12 o'clock. And she's fixing to draw water. Now, I've been to Israel. It's hot. It's hot sometimes in the morning, especially at 12 o'clock, noon. But she came to draw water at noon. Probably alone. Why? Well, I'm fixing to show you, because you may be in this situation. So alone, feel like you've done something and disgraced the family or whatever. That's what this is for right here. But anyway, she cometh the sixth hour, which is noon. Okay, go to the next one. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. Now, Jesus opened the conversation. He spoke first. Always does. Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Go to the next one. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him. Now, I want you to look at the progression here, by the way. When we get saved, there's a progressive unveiling of Jesus to us. She first recognized him as a Jew. She said, how is it you being a Jew? In a minute, she's going to call him sir. Then she's going to say, you're a prophet. And finally, she recognizes him as the Messiah. And you see that right here, the way the scriptures are, the way the Holy Spirit moved on John to write this story. It's just a message inside a message there. How is it you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. All right, go to the next one. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. Now, that's fat. That scripture right there is fat. It's rich. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me water, you'd ask to him and he'd give you living water. If you only knew who I was, Jesus is saying. He's going to reveal. Y'all, he revealed himself to this woman as the Messiah in more detail than any other person in the Bible. He sure did. He just flat out told her, I'm the Messiah. She said eventually in this story, when they talk about some different things about worship and stuff like that, and she says, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all these things. Jesus said, I'm him. Glory to God. She believed it because she left her, you know, she come to draw water. The Bible says she left her water pot at the well. Left it. Went back into town and told the men. You'll see why that fits in just a minute. All right, go to the next one. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew who it is. Now, I've got some remarks here, but I'm not going to do that tonight. Just go on to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And the next one. And the next one. Okay, the woman says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me? All right, go to the next one. And then the woman said, sir. Recognized him as a Jew. Now, sir, it's a little bit more honorable. Pleasantry, yeah. Thou hast nothing to draw with. The water's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Yes, you got her talking, they're talking, glory to God, glory to God. Go to the next one. This woman's a sinner, by the way. She's a sinner woman. Yet the Son of God is talking to her. It went there, had to go just for her. And he knows where you're at. He knows if you're thirsty. You've been praying for something for a while and he ain't got the answer yet. He knows all about it. And he loves you. Hallelujah. He satisfies. He satisfies, but keeps you hungry for more of him. Once you discover who he is, you want more. Paul said that I may know him. If anybody knew Jesus, Paul did. But he wanted more. And that's just, he's the Son of God. Hallelujah. He's coming back soon. If you're lost, you need to get saved like tonight. Come on, man. It's getting serious over there in the Middle East. The Gog and Magog thing is lining up. Ezekiel 38. And that's our hope. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob? Jesus created Jacob. What are you talking about? Which gave us this well and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle. VJ, there's something about just reading the scripture. Just reading it. It preaches itself that excites me. There's something. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah 15. And thy word, singular, was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Sometimes I'll read it fast. Like right now, I'm reading about David. I read it fast, 2 or 3 chapters a night, you know, before I go to bed. But once in a while, something will jump. Well, now, when it jumps, you need to pay attention to that. That's the Lord trying to show you something, you know. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word, it's that word. And sometimes you see that. Okay, go to the next one. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. All right, go to the next one. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be a well of water springing up into eternal life. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of the water. Now listen to me. You can dig a well and die of thirst. Jesus said, whoever drinks. You can hold a cold cup of water in your hand and die of thirst. You can take that cold cup of water and touch it to your parched lips and die of thirst. It's important you drink. I see a lot of people in this day. They're on the porch, but they ain't got in the house yet. Them dogs can still get you out there on that porch. Get in the house. Jesus said, I'm old, I knock. He opens the door. Get saved. Make sure without a shadow of a doubt you've given your life to Jesus. It's so easy a child can do it. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save you. And the Bible says in Romans 10, whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, it's so simple. Now, for whatever reason, we'll bypass that cross, at the cross. Paul said, I determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, said this. This is I didn't go to Bible school, so when God called me to preach down there at the mission several years ago, God showed, said, you just do that. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you. We're talking about a man of intelligence that can impress us with some stuff. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus, the person, and him crucified, what he did for us. When you see Jesus, it brings joy. When the disciples were, after Jesus died and was resurrected, they were in an upper room there for fear that, Jesus appeared. The Bible says they were joyful. Then he showed them his hands and said, peace. When seeing Jesus brings joy, when you see him from the scriptures or you're praying and you have a revelation or whatever, it brings joy. And when you see what he did for you, when you see the scars, he died in your place, was punished in your place, became sin for us. All our sins were laid on him. And then God judged him in Jesus' body on the cross. He gives you peace. Peace is of the conscience, joys of the heart. And you get them both with Jesus. So satisfying. The world is looking for something real. Y'all, the Bible says darkness will cover the earth. And gross darkness, the people. Darkness there, if you look that word up, I forget how to pronounce it. But it means a heaviness, a depression, a sorrow. You can go to Walmart. When I go places now, there's such a sadness on people, such a fear, such a callousness, they're half cocked all the time like I used to be, glory to God. You got to be, you just see it on people's faces. And so we need to be busy about preaching the gospel to people, sharing the gospel. But we need to do it the right way. And Jesus is fixing to show you how to do it right here. Take his example, his pattern. You got all these books on how to win the world and evangelize and share the gospel and stuff like it. Watch this right here. Go to the next one. Next slide. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Go to the next one. Watch Jesus. Watch this right here. He gets to the point. But I want you to see the Holy Sandwich. The Holy Sandwich, the way he does it. Jesus said, go get your husband. Call your husband. Tell him to come here. Go to the next slide. She said, I have no husband. Jesus said, now here, he brags on her right here. Gives her credit right here. He says, thou hast well said, I have no husband. I'm going to give you credit for that. What's the sandwich? Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Go to the next one. For thou hast had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. In that thou sayest truly. You see how he put that in the middle of it. He bragged on her, addressed the situation, and gave her credit again. How beautiful. Nobody could do that but Jesus. But we take that as a pattern, y'all. There's lost people out there. They're lost. They're supposed to be doing what they do. They're lost. They're sinners. Take this right here. It's love people. Yeah, I'm not saying you condone their sin. I'm not saying that at all. We can't do that. Now, when Jesus died for those sins and was punished for those sins, sin cuts you off from God. It damages homes and families and stuff like that. It's a poison. But there's a way to reach these people. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. All right, she had five husbands. Watch this right here. You've had five. The one you're living with is not your husband. That'd be six, right? The man talking to her is number seven. Perfection. Seven means perfection. Seven means completion. Hallelujah. She finally found the man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Found number seven. You've been looking at the wrong places and trying to satisfy with you know, of addictions or relationships or different things, money, maybe even your job. Jesus is the one that satisfies. There's a place in our heart, I believe, that God created in every human being that can't be satisfied with nobody but Jesus. And when you've gone around the world three times, you've done this and that, looking for that void to be filled, and you can't fill it with people let you down, relationship, maybe you'll get wore out and just say, hey, I need a Savior, and I want you to do the saving. Come into my heart. Oh, and that peace comes in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're a brand new creature. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, go to the next one. I just want to show you that sandwich right there. The woman said, see, watch this now. Jew, sir. And now she recognizes he's a prophet, and she's going to change the subject like we would do. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. Because he read her mail there with the five husbands and everything. All right, go to the next. And then she changes it to worship. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. The subject is worship. The first murder in the Bible was over the way we approach God. Cain came by his works. Abel came by the blood. So it's important, this worship thing right here. That in Jerusalem. Okay, go to the next one. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Father. You know, Jesus came in his prayer in John 17. I had it memorized at one time. Took me a year to memorize that one chapter. But then I've got to refresh myself. But I know Jesus said this right here. He said, Father, I have given them the words you gave. I have revealed to them your name. I've revealed. Well, those Jews, they knew Elohim, God. They knew Yahweh. They knew El Yon and El Shaddai and Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Sik. They knew all that. The one thing they didn't know was Father. Jesus came and did what he did to reconnect us, and now we call Elohim Father. He's still Elohim, Yahweh Elohim. He's still God. But we call him Father. It's like BJ's the pastor down here, this church. But when Ryder comes in, he's not going to come up here and address him. Brother BJ, may I have a word with you, please? Pastor BJ, may I have a word with you? No. Daddy? Hallelujah. Papa, whatever, in my case. You know. Father. Abba. Abba, Father. Okay, go to the next one. You worship. Now, Jesus is giving us some instructions here on worship. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship for salvations of the Jews. Now, here's the deal, y'all. We really owe the Jews a great debt. God didn't choose the Jewish nation or Abraham to make the Jewish nation because he was so great. God chose them and they became great. There's a disproportionate blessings on the Jewish people. More Nobel Prizes, more inventions, more scientific breakthroughs in medicine and stuff like that. They're a group of people. Paul said, what advantage has the Jew? He's asking a question in Romans chapter 3. Much in every way, for unto them were given the oracles of God or the word of God. God knew he could trust those Hebrews with the word. Y'all, when those early scribes, when they wrote, of course, they write from right to left. They read that way. You know, we read this. When one letter touched another letter, when they were writing it, they would crumble it up, carry it out, and bury it. When they got ready to write the name Yahweh, or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, it's four letters. When they go wash their hands and say a certain prayer before they ever wrote that name. You see? And at the end of every page in the Hebrew manuscript, they would be a number. They don't have numbers. They use letters for numbers. Like Aleph is one. Bet is two. Gamel is three. Delet is four. So forth. And they would use. But down at the bottom of that page, they would have a number describing how many characters should be on that page. They were so meticulous about the word of God. That thing you hold in your hand right there is holy. It's God's word. That pastor down there at Dallas, his church got it far the other day. Jeffress, I believe. Yo, he's the best I've seen. He's got a three CD thing on proving that that word is real, written by different authors and different times and all. The Book of Mormon is written by one person. With no consistent symbolism or anything. The Koran written by one person and inconsistent throughout. Bible written by 40-something different people, and the theme is consistent throughout. Blood always represents redemption and different things like that. I mean, he's amazing. This guy's amazing. But anyway, so we owe them a great debt. They're just blinded right now till the Gentiles come in. My daughter told me one time, I probably was preaching on this, and after the service, she said, Daddy, can you imagine what it's going to be like when that last Gentile gets saved? That's it. It's over. When the last Gentile gets saved, the rapture happens, and 7 years of tribulation, and then the focus is back on the Jews again. I don't know who that last Gentile is or where he's at or her. Most blessed. Glory to God. That's extra. Okay, go to the next one. I'll hurry. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That's what jumped at me the other day when I was... It wasn't a matter of trying to get a message for you guys. I've got hundreds just like you do. It's about picking the one for you. I was thanking God. I was praying yesterday. I said, Lord, thank you. You've oversupplied me with different things to say and messages and stuff like that. Now all I have to do is just pick the one. Back in the day, it was, I got to get something to preach for BJ's church. Oh, my gosh. And you sweat it out starting on Monday, you know, praying all week. What am I going to preach? Oh, what am I going to... No. What am I... Which one am I going to choose? Hallelujah. But anyway, and that jumped at me. Jesus, the Son of God, said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. I'm going, wait a minute, God, I thought you had everything. I thought you had everything. Seek him. What are you seeking? You're God. Elohim God, the Creator. You seeking something? Yeah. That free will you got. God honors it as much as he does salvation. He could have stopped Adam and Eve that day. He could have stopped that. He did not. When he gave a man a free will, he was serious about that. Even those demons that was in that man over there at Gadara, I've been in that very place. You see, it's a haze over that place there where that man had 1,000 demons and Jesus cast him out. By the way, he cast him out with one word. He said, go. 1,000 demons fled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But even those demons couldn't keep that man from coming to Jesus when Jesus pulled up on that shore. There's a certain place God will not let that will be violated. So you have a volition. You can give him more. He seeketh such. And I saw that. I said, well, I just broke down crying. I'm going to be one of them. And I know I'm not. I said, give me grace to be that guy back there. I want to be one of those. And BJ, the thing is, the bride is making herself ready. I see people, they're getting godly. They're starting to love their wife, their children. There's a godliness, a Christ-likeness that's happening. I see it in different places in the body. The bride is making herself ready. Hallelujah. 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 He seeketh such. He seeketh such. And then my mind immediately went to Isaiah 66. Used to have it memorized. Just see if I... God says, where's the house you'll build for me? Or where's the place of my rest? Isaiah 66. For all these things my hands have made and all these things have been, but to this man will I look. He that's broken and contrite and trembles at my word. God's got all that. He's looking for those people who will worship him. And it's not a narcissistic thing. No, this is for your benefit. You got your problems and everything, you get them on him, they just melt. You know, I look inside sometimes to see how my walk is doing. How I'm doing, you know, with my walk, loving my wife and this and that, not getting angry and not, you know, getting road rage or anything like that. I look in, I get depressed. I've quit doing that. And you look outside at the news. I'm going to check it as soon as we're over, see what's broken out over yonder. You're going to get distressed. But when you look up, you get impressed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He, like you said earlier, BJ, he's on the throne. He sees it all. Over there in the book of Revelation, those seals that's being loosed. Guess who's opening those seals? Jesus. Hallelujah. He's got control of the whole deal. And he waits to a certain place to see if they'll repent after one or two seals is open. They still won't repent. Okay, I gave you a chance. Father, seek as such. Be one of them. Make up your mind. And do like me now. The law way is, oh, I've got to, you know, no. God, give me grace for that. I'm not there yet. I'm not that guy. I'm interested in this. I still did. Boom, boom, boom. Give me grace to be one of those. He's God. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Whatever you give up for Jesus, that service, oh gosh, y'all got it going on here. I don't know how many names. Be faithful, like he said, because nothing you do for Jesus goes unseen. Paul said, God is not unrighteous. We know he's not unrighteous, but Paul is making a point here. Or no, the writer of Hebrews, whoever it is, could have been Paul. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward his name and that you minister to his saints and will minister. God is not unrighteous to forget. We know he's not unrighteous. Why would he stress it? To let you know. He sees what you're doing, the sacrifices you're making for his name, to preach the gospel, to get the gospel out, to minister to these children. Y'all need to fill up them children's Sunday schools. Oh, gosh. Y'all in the area here, there's tons of them everywhere. Go get them. Hallelujah. Go up and knock on the door before you jerk them out of the yard and bring them down here and get permission first. But let's teach them kids about Jesus. That was planted at me in the early. My mama didn't need to carry me to church. They had that vacation Bible school thing. Yeah, that's when I first heard about Jesus, I guess. She said, I wanted to tell you to raise your hand when it's about 3 till the hour. What? We're close? What'd she say? 5 till? 10 till? 1 till. 1 till. Hallelujah. All right, go to the next slide. I got 1 minute here. Go to the next one. That's where she said, I know when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all this. He'll tell us all these things. Go to the next one. Jesus said, I am he. You notice he is in italics right there. Did you know when you see something in italics in the King James, it was added, it's a word that's added to make it clear for you to read? Really, Jesus said, I am. Where do you remember hearing that? The burning bush? I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just extra right there. Oh, Jesus never spoke this prayer. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. I'm hurried. Disciples came and marveled that he talked with this woman, yet they didn't ask him why. Go to the next one. Oh, Jesus never mentioned the first thing to this woman about being born again. The chapter, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will put chapters together, like Luke 18 and 19. The rich young ruler versus Zacchaeus. Rich young ruler, you know, wouldn't give a penny. Zacchaeus, Jesus never said anything about giving. He said, I'll give everything. John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. John 4, contrast and compare. They're side by side. I know men gave us the chapters and all that, but I think God had a hand in it. John 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, who came to him at night, said, you must be born again. Jesus goes to this woman at 12 noon. Don't say a word, not nothing about being born again. And then he didn't say the first thing. Glory to God. She got born again, did she? Go to the next one. The woman then left her water pot. Glory to God. Sometimes the scripture can just preach. Y'all, when you get bored, you got all the electronic world, these games and all that, and I'm trying to monitor it with my grandkids. You just get overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. Go and read a story about Jesus. Read it slow. Just read it slow. And when you see him, there's a comfort, there's a shalom peace that comes just seeing him. And it'll change your life. Paul says, but we all with open face or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass. When you see glass or mirror, a lot of times it's talking about the scripture, the written scripture. Beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same glory. No, changed into that same image. I'm sorry. Same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, when you look at Jesus and you see him, he's conforming you to that. You'll be like that. You'll minister to people like he did. And you'll have a revelation. He's that living water. See how that works there on that? All right, BJ, I'll let you do the invitation if you want or whatever y'all do. Thank y'all for your time and attention.